But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is Nicole. Join me on this adventure as we go from glory to glory.
Hello and welcome back. All right, today we're going to start a series on prayer. I've already done a few classes on prayer, and today we're going to delve more into prayer. And this might be a 2 or 3 part series. And where we're going to end up is with you understanding the difference between an intercessor, a prophetic intercessor slash watchman, and a prophet. So these are actually 3 different things. So that's where I hope to end up with the end of this series. So we're going to get into prayer. So let me start by praying so we can get going here today. Lord, I just thank you for this day. Thank you for all that you've given us in your word, Lord, and for how you are unveiling your word and your truth to us. I pray that our spirit man, our flesh, our soul, our mind, our body would be prepared right now to receive whatever it is that you're giving us at this time. I ask that the eyes of our hearts will be open, enlightened to hear your truth, that you would bring a wisdom and understanding and knowledge to the truth that is coming forth from your word right now, so that individually we would all grasp and glean every lesson you want us to learn from this teaching. I just thank you for governing over this time. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for moving freely. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so the scripture that we're going to use for this is 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I want to say maybe verse 1 through 3 or 4. But there is just a section of this that I'm really going to focus in on. So let's start now. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. I think I'm going to stop right there. Okay, so what we're going to focus on is petitions, prayers, and intercession. And it says, and thanksgiving. And the Lord clearly says in here that you're to do this for everyone, specifically also for those who are in authority, so that our lives will go the way that, you know, it's pleasant, it's peaceful, it's quiet. And basically, this is what is pleasing to God. Okay? Now, first of all, let's start with the first one, which is petitions. What are petitions? In the Strong Greek's concordance, it's 1162, it's desis. This is prayer, supplication, petition. It seems to have laid out the same thing. But let's get into a good definition of it here. The term desis is referred to a heartfelt petition or supplication, often directed towards God. It conveys a sense of earnestness and urgency in prayer, reflecting a deep personal need or desire. In the New Testament, desis is used to describe prayers that are specific and fervent, often in the context of seeking divine intervention or assistance. Okay, and so it says, it means desis, to be in want or lack, praying for a specific felt need, a heartfelt petition arising out of a deep personal need, a sense of lack or a want. Amen. So this is like urgent prayer. So the point here is that this is not just some regular prayer that you're going to be praying on a daily basis. This term here, when you see this, petitions, this is a urgent need, want type of prayer. When you are really praying with your whole heart and your spirit and your mind for a deep need. If you're in a very deep need, that's what this is terming as a petition. And if you think about it, petition is like going before the king. You're petitioning the king, which is Jesus, for whatever your need is. So think about that as your personal petitions, what you want. You think about it for the people around you that you're praying for, that deep need and desire. And you think about that also for those who are in authority. What would that sound like? To earnestly cry out to God for a need or something that you want as it relates to those who are in authority over you. The next word is prayers. So prayers, that's prosuke. It's Strong's 4335. The term prosuke refers to prayer, particularly in the context of worship and communication with God. It encompasses various forms of prayer, including supplication, intercession, thanksgiving, and adoration. In the New Testament, prosuke is often used to describe the act of praying to God, emphasizing a personal and communal relationship with Him. It says, towards, exchange a wish prayer, exchanging of wishes. So, you see, this one now is like a step down. That's not that heartfelt, deep prayer, as in petition. This is now just the regular communicating with God, okay, as an act of worship and a form of communication. I hope you can clearly see the difference here now, right? So there's prayers and then there is petition, which is the heartfelt. Now we're going to go into the third one, and it says intercession. Now, intercession, the word is entusix. I hope I'm saying that right. Entusix. Intercession, petition, prayer. This is Strong 1783. The term entusis refers to the act of interceding or making a petition on behalf of another. In the New Testament, it is used to describe a form of prayer that involves earnest appeal or supplication to God, often for the needs of others. It emphasizes the role of believers as intercessors, standing in the gap for others through prayer. Okay, it says this is intervention, intersection, which literally hits the mark. Intervention led by God, marking an intersection between heaven and earth as it reflects the Lord's perfect will. Wow. Okay, and then it comes from the root term, should I even bother to pronounce this? Taixano, which means to strike or hit the bullseye, spot on. Praise God. Accordingly, it is used in the classical Greek as the antonym of harmartia, to miss the mark, which, as you know, is sin. Okay, so isn't that interesting? Hitting the mark is intercession. Missing the mark is sin. Very interesting juxtaposition there. Solution, Xenophon, Homer, etc. Thus, biblical intercession centers in waiting upon the Lord to learn what hits the mark, which is His will. Guiding the believer to act as his agent, intercession is not the tool in and of itself. To act according to the mark of the intercessor, it always builds on faith, learning God's persuasion. So this is a spirit-directed intervention. Refers to petition, intercession of believers as they fall in line with God's will, revealing how the one intervening should get involved after drawing near to God and agreeing with His revealed will. True intercession seeks to only act as the Lord directs, following His will to act as His hand extended. That was a mouthful there. So I want to break this down for you so you truly understand what this means. This is big. intercession means hitting the mark, bullseye. That is a targeted prayer that is going to get answered. Why? Because it is directed and led by the Holy Spirit Himself. So the intercessor is standing in between heaven and earth, in that gap, standing there, okay, receiving the will of God and then praying out the will of God into the earth or into that situation, okay? And because they're praying from the place of receiving the will of God, that makes it a very targeted bullseye type of prayer, spot on, as this says, meaning you cannot miss. You cannot miss. And the only way that is ever gonna happen is how you enter into intercession, is it not? You cannot go in there thinking, I am about to pray my will. That's not gonna work. Because in true intercession, biblical intercession, what you're supposed to be praying is the will of God. So in standing, receiving from heaven, from Holy Spirit, what you should be praying and then praying the will of God, it's gonna hit the mark. I find it very interesting that sin is missing the mark while biblical intercession is hitting the mark. Hallelujah. That means through proper intercession, you can actually undo, change, reverse, put things back in order that missed the mark, sin. Okay, so I hope that clearly shows you what that is, okay? Now, let's now look at what it means. So this is all like New Testament I just shared with you, okay? So now, what about the Old Testament? The picture in the Old Testament of the intercessor would be the picture of the priest, because the priest went and he made sacrifices for himself first, which is cleansing of his own sin. This is the picture. And then he went and he made sacrifice for the sins of the people, for the cleansing of their sins. And then he brought the petitions before God. He was interceding, right, on behalf of the people. So in the Old Testament, the picture of the intercessor is the priest. In the New Testament, we can act as intercessors because we have the Holy Spirit within us, which will help us to know what is the will of God, right? We have the Bible that we can read to say what is the will of God, right? Now today, we know that in the Catholic Church, they have the priest. And a lot of people are still going through the priest. But truthfully, based on this and what you know now as being filled with the Holy Spirit and reading the Word of God, you do not need to do that. You can actually do it for yourself from your own home by reading your Bible. Because the only way you're going to know the will of God is by knowing His Word. What He says is His will and what is not His will. So then you're going to need to read your Bible. If you read your Bible and you understand what it says, then basically you can pray the will of God and be that intercessor that is working with the Holy Spirit for this, right? Okay, so let's go ahead and look at the word intercede in the Old Testament. So that strong concordance is 6293. It's paga. This means to meet, to encounter, to entreat, to intercede, to strike, to reach. Come between, cause to intrigue, fall upon, make intercession, intercessor, entreat. In ancient Hebrew culture, the act of meeting or encountering someone could carry significant weight, often involving formal greetings, negotiations, or confrontations. The concept of intercession One of the meanings of Paga was also deeply embedded in the religious practices of the Israelites, where prophets and priests would intercede on behalf of the people before God. The term's usage in various contexts reflects the multifaceted nature of human interactions in the biblical narrative. When you think of negotiations, because it says it's meeting, right? So it's the person meeting with God to negotiate. Can you imagine going before the Lord saying, I'm going to negotiate? And truth be told, there are instances all over the Bible where you see someone negotiating with God, right? It's a form of intercession because you're going on behalf of someone to entreat God, to petition God on behalf of someone else, right? This is what intercession is. It's not you praying for yourself. Intercession is you praying for someone else. You can pray for yourself, you can make petitions for yourself, but intercession is you praying for someone else. Okay, so think of the whole thing of negotiation, okay? So we know that there are several stories of negotiation. One that's coming to mind right now is the story of Abraham when he was negotiating with God to save Lot and his family from Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, what is interesting, you know, that this word paga and the word intercede that I'm bringing up here is from the scripture in the Bible. I'm going to put it up on the screen here, where God said he was looking throughout the earth for someone to stand in intercession for the people, right? To intercede for the people, but he found no one. I find it fascinating that God, before he does anything, he is looking for someone on the earth to stand up for that, to say, okay, Lord, this is it. He's looking for someone in the earth to come to use as a vessel here, where his Holy Spirit can work through that person and he can partner with that person to do things in the earth. Don't ask me why he does that, because quite frankly, he doesn't need us, right? He can do it himself. But he calls us to be a part of the process, which is such a beautiful picture of who God is, right? So now, think of this story when God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, if you read it, it is in Genesis chapter 18. Oh, well, I'm not going to do this without first talking to Abraham about it, which is interesting because he could have just destroyed it and said nothing. So he talks to Abraham about it. And now look at the picture of intercession that Abraham does. He doesn't go into some, you know, I'm going to sit, I'm going to bow my head to the ground and pray to God. No, he goes into negotiation process, right? So it says he goes and he says, I'm paraphrasing here now. Are you going to destroy the city if there is 50 righteous men? God says no. He's like 45. God said no. He said, what about 40? What about 30? What about 20? What about 10? He negotiates it down to 10. That is something else. That God would just like leave it up to him to say, if there were 10, would you still do it? And then the other part about this whole thing that I find fascinating is that he ended the negotiation at 10. Abraham did, right? But when the angels went to get Lot and his family, wasn't it just Lot, his wife, and his two daughters? Let's say the two daughters had husbands. That's only 6 people. He negotiated it to 10, and God saved 6. Because I'm thinking he probably knew that Abraham would just keep going. And he wouldn't give up on them, would he? No. Even if it was only one, he would go get him. Go get the one, right? So that is a picture of intercession, because he was interceding on behalf of Lot. his nephew, right? And it was a negotiation process. So I find that very interesting. And there are other stories in the Bible, the same thing with the negotiation. Actually, another one that comes to mind is the story of Moses coming down the mountain with the Ten Commandments. If you read it, I'm going to put the scripture up on the screen here. What we see in this is that God told Moses while he was up there, the people are building a golden calf and they're worshiping, you know, false gods. I'm going to destroy them. And Moses says, no, don't do that. Paraphrasing here. Remember, these are your people. Okay, these are your people. So why would you want to destroy them? And then God said, okay, that again is a picture of intercession. He's standing there. He himself was not doing it. Abraham was not the one that was going to get destroyed, but he's standing there on behalf of someone else. Okay. So Moses was saying, don't destroy these people. And so God said, okay, I won't, but you need to go down there now. So again, God could have just destroyed them and not told Moses, but he didn't do that. He told Moses first. And I think about that every day, because I am pretty sure, you look at everything that's happening in the world, he has to be going to different people at different time and saying, this is what I'm thinking of doing. And I'm just hoping that if he comes to you, that you're going to stop and say, let me pray. What can I negotiate for here? You know, that you're going to have a heart of mercy for people, no matter how bad they are. The entire scripture shows the compassion and the gift of mercy of those he called, the ones that he lifted up, and he said, this is my servant. All of these people were compassionate, they were kind, and they had mercy, the gift of mercy. Okay, I think it's almost why he goes to these people and tells them, right? Is then they go into a negotiation and they say, okay, Lord, what if we do this instead? Instead of destroying them, what if we do this? And sometimes in the end, as we know with Moses and even with Lot, it still goes bad for them, right? It does. But I think it's wonderful when the servant of God, man or woman, can show that there is a gift of mercy there too. You're not just so quick to see someone destroyed. Okay, because one day, you're going to need mercy as well, right? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. So it's one of those things where one day you're going to need someone to also negotiate on your behalf. Think about that for someone else. Okay, so let me go ahead and just go through some scriptures with you here. Now, James 5:16, it says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results, right? Pray for each other. That's the intercession. And it says the earnest prayer. That's the petition, right? Heartfelt, earnest prayer. Okay. Then Colossians chapter 1, verse 3 to 4, and then 9 to 12 says this. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. This is the thanksgiving made unto men. Right? Sometimes when you think about some of the beautiful, wonderful people that you know, it's just to offer up thanksgiving for that person before the Lord. Lord, I am so thankful for this person because they're doing this. Bless them, God. It's such a small thing, but when you show your gratitude and your thanksgiving for that person to God, you're praying for them, right? It comes in with the intercession. Verse 4 says, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. So here it is, Paul is saying, I'm thankful to God for you because I heard of your wonderful faith and your love for God's people. Then verse 9, we see the intercession happening. He says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in his inheritance of his holy people, in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. How beautiful is that prayer? You know, Paul has so many fantastic prayers throughout the New Testament. Actually, the whole Bible, there are like textbook prayers that you could just lift those prayers right out and pray that straight, right? Pray that straight. Especially, you know, like this is a great prayer. If there's someone in authority, which God says you should be praying for them, and they might not be your favorite person, okay? Let's face it, it does happen. So this is a situation where I would take a prayer like this and just pray that over them. God is going to answer this. Why? Because this is a spirit-breathed prayer. It's coming from God himself. He will answer it. So that's amazing, right? Paul, all the prayers are so beautiful for this kind of thing. So what I'm going to do in the study guide is I'm going to list for you Paul's prayers so that you have them and you know where to find them and what to pray. If you're like, I don't know what to pray for this person, just read them, pray them. So good to pray this over your family, over your children. Okay, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Again, it's the picture of intercession. Matthew 5:44 says, but I say, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Again, when it's really hard to pray for these kind of people, you take one of those prayers that's already been written and you just pray that. And then the last one I'm going to share with you today, it's Romans 8, chapter 26 to 27. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Praise the Lord. So it is the Holy Spirit within you, when you submit yourself to this process, that's praying. And if you're just praying the prayers from the Bible, that's plenty. If you're like, I don't know what to say, don't know what to pray, there are many prayers in the Bible that you could just pray them as is, okay? Like I said, in the study guide, I am going to have a list of Paul's prayers that you can use in your prayer time. Okay, so that is it for today. So what did you learn? The difference between a prayer, which is like worship communication with God, petition, which is a earnest, heartfelt prayer from a place of deep need, and intercession, which is praying for other people, standing in the gap between heaven and earth, receiving the will of God, and praying a targeted bullseye prayer that is spot on, that gets answered every single time. Okay, now, next week, what are we going to do? We're going to delve into intercession some more. Going to talk about the way in which you enter it, how it works, why it works, the posture of the intercessor. I'm going to talk about just all of that. Then I will go into prophetic intercession. And then I'm going to talk about witches, aka the watchman, and then the prophet. And I just want to show you the difference between the three. Because understand that, based on the scripture, intercession is not just left for the people with the gift of intercession, because there are people with the gift. Intercession is for all of us. You pray for your kids, don't you? That's intercession. So these are things that you need to learn when you're gonna do that. That would make it that much easier for you to intercede for someone else, right? And I just want to give all of that to you so that you're prepared and you know. Okay, that's it. I hope that this was helpful to you and that you learned something through this, all right? Let me pray. Lord, I just thank you for this beautiful, wonderful scripture and that you've shown us clearly the different types of prayer and the different ways in which we can stand in the gap for others, Lord, and make our own petitions known to you as well as intercede for others. Lord, I just thank you that this week you'll begin to take these scriptures, have us go through all of Paul's prayers and just pray them and see the fruit that comes from them, because these are Holy Spirit breathed. It was your spirit that breathed them. And they're going to be answered 100% of the time because they are spot on. Spirit-led and directed. You said your word shall not return to you void, but it will accomplish everything it was sent forth to do. And I just thank you for all that you're going to accomplish through these prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I will see you next time as we continue this series. Bye.